Welcome to the Government IT Podcast from Converge One Government Solutions, featuring expert discussions around cloud solutions, cybersecurity, modern workplace, enterprise networking, and customer experience for government and civil agencies. And now here are your hosts, Ryan Heath and Julian Foster.
So Ryan, thanks for joining me again today. Really enjoying our podcast sessions that we're doing. And this week we're starting something new. We're going to start doing a weekly weekend tech episode and try to get those done every week. This week, we're going to start out by talking about Wi-Fi 6E. You know, when we've built, websites and applications and things like that in the past, we've run into situations where our clients have applications that they've worked on over a number of years, sometimes, 10 years or more. And they piece on all these various pieces over time that serve specific purposes. And what they end up with is what we've always referred to as a duct tape monster. That's kind of, I think, if my understanding is correct, what's happened with, the Wi-Fi spectrum to this point in time. Would that be a correct assessment?
Certainly is. I'm kind of looking at it. Even if you look at your own house, your own home office, I just went on my wireless network and I got 36 devices now. So first put that in, it was for a laptop and maybe a phone. So 2, 3, 4 devices, now 36, and had no idea I was even close to that.
So then my understanding of what's great about 6E is that we have this whole new section of spectrum that's opened up, but it's wireless first, and it's dedicated specifically to devices that are made for this part of the spectrum. So there's not going to be any overlap or performance degradation from older devices, 4s and 5s. And there's going to be a lot more security, as I understand it, as well, because there are new security requirements and specifications. But then also because we're not sharing the spectrum with legacy devices, we're not bringing in, any kind of security vulnerabilities that come with those technologies. Is that correct?
Correct. I mean, if you just look at the overlapping piece. So, 2.4 had 3 non-overlapping channels. So you're basically, 3 devices streaming at once. And then they would kind of go on and off and share that, different channels. And, that increased with 5, but now with, 6E, you're getting 5 times that amount of 5. So was it 10 or 12 times more of, 2.4. And each one of those channels has an, I think, 80 megahertz, band. So you're stacking up a lot of different, channel options. I think 14 total that are kind of dedicated within that big giant span of, wow, 80 megahertz. So it's a big increase of spectrum use. 2.4, I think, was a spectrum range of 100. Now 6E is 1200. So right there, 1200 more megahertz of spectrum range right there. A lot less collisions and, channel capacity issues.
So my understanding then is also, obviously this is going to come with a lot of increased capacity and throughput. So that's going to facilitate a lot of the modern technologies and use cases that we, have, such as the Internet of Things with multiple devices, accessing the networks, as you put it earlier. Also augmented reality and virtual reality, remote learning, telehealth. What are some of the other benefits and use cases that you think would be worth mentioning or talking about?
All those are really good points. You can even kind of bring in just the large meeting spaces that we have in a lot of facilities. If it's, boardroom style or just kind of the meeting spaces in general, where, you're looking at everyone bringing in laptops or a tablet or a phone, so 2 to 3 devices per individual. Mm. You start stacking up, 30 people in a meeting. That's now 90 devices just in one, wow, small, yeah, little room. So, having more capacity, being able to penetrate that type of facility definitely helps.
So my understanding, also speaking of, penetrating barriers, is that there will be a greater capability for penetrating obstacles, physical obstacles. Is that understanding correct? And why would that be?
Kind of. So, within this frequency range, it's a higher range. So it doesn't go as far as, say, 2.4. But what it does is has less interference. So with that less interference, it's going to kind of keep on going. You'll have a lot more, spectrum to use. So therefore, theoretically, it should kind of penetrate around the walls a little bit better instead of just stopping based on devices and, the reach that it's going to have.
Actually, because of the decreased interference, it's going to go farther.
Yeah, you'll have, especially in an office space, you'll have, yeah, a lot better kind of penetration around devices because you have that broad spectrum.
So, we talked about the use case of, larger venues, concert halls, conference centers, things like that. What are some of the other facilities or use cases that you could see this being really useful in?
I really kind of just see it at this point, just standard office space. You know, now everyone is getting laptops as kind of the number one priority, especially with the work from home environment that we've been in the last few years, you know, kind of bringing that device back home, back and forth. So if everyone's got a wireless device instead of the old PC setup where you're hardwired in, you know, just your standard cubicle farm or, you know, your office space that's fairly open, one of these devices will easily penetrate all those users. You know, still would highly recommend doing heat maps to make sure you got the coverage. But, you know, now that kind of green dot you would have on a heat map, you know, previously didn't really see how many devices that you were going to have within that certain area. Mm-hmm. You know, now we can start loading up those devices. So you wouldn't have to kind of do a retroactive heat map after it's kind of been deployed to see, okay, well, you know, where do we need to add APs now to have the coverage that it needs, not just the heat map signature.
And so, yeah. And another analogy that I thought of was, you know, again, looking back at, you know, developing websites and applications, you know, there was this shift, you know, especially between like 2010 and 2015, I would say, where everything had to be converted to be mobile compatible, right? So we started making everything responsive, you know, so that smaller screen sizes, things would, you know, lay out properly within the context of that smaller screen. But then, you know, as quickly as possible, you know, we made the shift to mobile first, because that was, you know, that's where all the traffic was coming from. So we wanted to make sure that everything that was being developed was appealing to that largest segment first, and then compatible with everything after that. So it became more desktop compatible and mobile first. It sounds like that's precisely what's happening here with 6E, is that we've made this shift over the decades, because the spectrum was previously apportioned sort of at an ad hoc, on an ad hoc basis. Now there's this giant chunk of spectrum that's being given, you know, for use, and it's wireless first instead of, you know, sort of this transitional use where it's going from a wired world to a wireless world. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at trying to order a computer these days, just a standard laptop, if you want an Ethernet port, you have to add that dongle or the adapter to it. Now, there's some facilities that we're in where you can't have any USB adapters to it. So if it's not built in, you know, theoretically, you're not supposed to be able to use that device. And, you know, everything that I've, you know, kind of gone through ordering and looking at lately, it's all wireless. There really is. It's really hard to find now an Ethernet enabled device. So it really kind of narrows down your ability to purchase.
Yeah, it's really funny. Just yesterday, I was having some issues with my internet connection at home. And I was dealing with our ISP. And they said, you know, we did a speed test and the speed was not as high as it should have been. So they said, could you plug it into Ethernet? And I'm like, it's 2023. I don't have an Ethernet cable handy. I'm sorry. So, yeah, to your point, you know, everything is, you know, certainly being wired is like the exception now, right?
Yeah. So, you know, just kind of looking at putting a new device into play, all you really need at this point is just the power. Previously, you would need to know where the network jack was going to be. Do you need to hire a cabling vendor to put a network jack there? Does your switch in the back end have capacity? You know, all those kind of different things. Now you don't have to worry about that. The capacity should be there from the 6E perspective to throw all the devices into play.
And who are some of the top vendors that, you know, are at play in this right now?
You know, I'm looking really at Cisco, Juniper, Aruba would be the kind of the top three manufacturers in play. You know, all the code makers or the chip makers in play as well. So you got, you know, Broadcom as an example. All their kind of chips now are moving into that 6E category.
Well, that leads me to, you know, I guess sort of like a two-part question. How can C1Gov, how can Converge One Government Solutions help customers leverage this new technology? And I guess as an extension to that, or maybe a different way of putting it is, how can you work with your customers to prepare them for this shift?
Well, I see it as something that they need to start at a minimum planning for. Even if they don't have it on their radar today, it's something that they need to start planning for in the next year to 2 years to start getting the funding to be able to pay for the updated and upgraded, you know, wireless infrastructure. So, you know, that's going to be a site survey, doing heat maps, making sure that, you know, what is currently there, what is working, what's not working, and really looking at the security aspect of it too. So putting WPA3 into play, you know, that right there, just the security aspect should be the leading factor besides the capacity of 6E.
Yeah, and it makes me think of, you know, when it comes to any kind of project, whether it's networking or some kind of development project, you know, certainly the lessons that one of the primary or most important lessons I've learned over the years is that pre-production is everything. All the planning that you do ahead of time will make the difference in the success or failure of an endeavor. And this leads me to think about, you know, the episodes that we've done recently about TDM migrations and migrating, you know, to routing, modern routing switching networks, that if you plan ahead of time, you have a lot more in your control. It's sort of, you know, you're doing it on your own time frame. You have, you know, say in what goes down and how and when. Whereas if you kind of wait too late, then you're kind of under the gun and it gets a little messy, right?
Right. Because the worst thing about something like this is, you know, a project is going to be put in play. Some new technology is going to come in. A big purchase is going to be acquired. And then all of a sudden they put it out and they go, it doesn't work because we don't have, you know, 6E enabled and all the security requirements that are needed for that. So it's, you know, we got to put in the infrastructure first to be able to support all the new and upcoming technologies that are going to be put in play on a day-to-day use. So you need your plumbing, and this would be part of that plumbing.
That's a good way of putting it. I like that. So I can imagine that, you know, one of the greatest considerations here, you know, in terms of implementing new technologies that are going to require 6E, you know, migrating infrastructure to facilitate 6E is, you know, we already talked a little bit about it, but certainly security is going to be, especially in, you know, Fed SLED is going to be the probably the number one concern, right? Besides cost.
Correct. I mean, you know, cybersecurity in general is a very big point right now to kind of discuss and really think through on the network. So with, you know, 6E in play now, we're talking about stronger encryption, improved authentication, kind of protection against, you know, brute force attacks, a little bit easier to configure. So, you know, that's also a big issue that I've seen lately. It's just configurations haven't been there that really need to be put there and applied on the overall security aspect. And it also has protection for open networks as well. So that's an added benefit that you would see.
Sounds like there's a lot to talk about when it comes to security. So I think what we'll do is, you know, we'll stop here for today. And in next week's episode, we'll talk in greater depth about, you know, 6E security considerations. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Good idea.
So, you know, when it comes to consulting with C1Gov on, you know, migration strategies and things like that, we'll put some links in the description below, as we always do, in terms of how you can contact Ryan and C1 Government Solutions and get the ball rolling on that. Thanks for your time today, and we'll see everybody next time.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.